Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is writer John McNally. I interviewed McNally previously on the podcast, and I'll have a link to that previous interview in the show notes if you want to take a listen to that. McNally has a new book out, The Penned Butterfly, which he has published under a pen name, Johnny Mack. In addition to his new novel, The Penned Butterfly, John is the author of three previous novels, After the Workshop, America's Report Card, and The Book of Ralph, and two short story collections, Ghost of Chicago and Troublemakers. His first memoir was published in 2017, The Boy Who Really, Really Wanted to Have Sex, The Memoir of a Fat Kid. He adapted his novel, The Book of Ralph, into the YA novel, Lord of the Ralphs. He is also the author of The Promise of Failure, One Writer's Perspective on Not Succeeding, Vivid and Continuous Essays and Exercises for Writing Fiction, and The Creative Writer Survival Guide, Advice from an Unrepentant Novelist. And he has also edited six anthologies. John, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Jeff.
Absolutely. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your new novel, The Penned Butterfly, how would you describe the novel?
So it's an international thriller, and it's the story of this couple, Brent and Sarah Webb, who they're on their 10th anniversary, and they go to Thailand, Phuket Island. And while Sarah, the wife, is getting over jet lag, Brent kind of goes out to look around the town, and he finds himself kind of sucked into mysterious things that he begins seeing. He starts noticing that somebody seems to be following somebody he'd been talking to. He learns about missing bar girls. There's a mysterious yacht. There's this whole Pandora's box of things that he begins discovering. And then eventually he begins kind of getting hooked into it personally. And so that's kind of where it begins. I wanted to write this kind of big international thriller with a lot of moving parts, a lot of different points of view, something that I hadn't done before, and also setting it in Thailand, where I've been spending a lot of time lately.
And do you remember the impetus or idea for The Penned Butterfly?
Well, so when I think it was the second time I went to Thailand in 2019, I was reading a Graham Greene novel. And I just thought, I've been wanting to write a crime novel for a long time. And the Graham Greene novel was really resonating with me in an interesting way, because a lot of his novels are set in different countries. They have that kind of, they're literary, but they also have this element of some sort of crime or some sort of espionage or something that's happening. So I actually wrote a draft of a crime novel, and I realized it kind of read like all of my other books in some ways. And so it had a crime in it, but it really wasn't the kind of crime novel I was hoping to write. But then I had spent time in Patong, which is in southern Thailand. And it's kind of a party scene down there. It's a little more seedier elements. And I think it was from that where I began. I mean, I wouldn't say that there was one specific incident, but just kind of a cast of characters of people, the kinds of people that I would meet down there, mostly kind of some shady expats.
Sure.
I think of Thailand in some ways as kind of like a modern day Casablanca. You get these like people with mysterious backgrounds converging there with, kind of suspect backgrounds, or histories. Or motivations. And so based on that, I began kind of piecing it together. I was like, well, what if there's a story that seems like it might be about sex trafficking, but it's not about sex trafficking. Like it starts leading, but it sparks the interest of somebody who's on vacation there to begin following this road that is in a country that he has no experience. He's not a cop in Thailand. He's a cop in the US. Yeah, so that's where it began, and the rest of it was just kind of by the seat of my pants, sure. Just trying to piece the story together.
why did you decide to publish this novel under a pen name?
I think it's just because it was a crime novel. I wanted to kind of separate it from my other books. It was more for marketing. It was, you know, I didn't want somebody who had read The Book of Ralph to, you know, pick this up thinking it was going to be kind of like The Book of Ralph, because I feel like it's not at all like The Book of Ralph.
Sure.
In terms of tone, in terms of genre. So that's all. It was just kind of a marketing decision. I'm not sure if it was a smart marketing decision or a bad one, but it was to kind of keep that separate with the idea that if I write some more crime novels, they would be under the pen name.
Can you tell us about your original writing journey that led you to writing your first stories and eventually getting your first novel published?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a long one. I had an interest in writing ever since, I would say, in fourth grade when we had to write a play. And I wrote a play. I was a fat kid, and I wrote a play about a fat superhero who gets stuck in a phone booth, and we had to perform it. And, you know, the students were laughing, my teacher laughed, and that was kind of the encouragement that I needed to say, well, maybe this is something that I would be interested in doing. And then in seventh and eighth grade, I actually wrote a book-length manuscript about old-time comedians, where I wrote to people, I interviewed people, I took it very seriously, and then I wrote to all these publishers to ask if they wanted to see it, and they all wrote back and said they don't take unsolicited manuscripts, which, you know, I thought, like, wow, I spent 2 years working on this book, and I've been rejected by everybody, but one publisher actually did want to see it, and that, again, it was like a little boost of encouragement that made me continue on. And then from there, it wasn't until I was in college as an undergrad, I began writing short stories for the first time. I began reading literary fiction for the first time. I really hadn't been much of a reader before that. I read Mad Magazine and things like that. But I was introduced to Kurt Vonnegut and John Irving and all these other writers. And after my undergrad, I applied to grad school, and kind of, I still think it may have been a clerical error. I'd gotten into Iowa, into the MFA program. I just kind of didn't know. I came from a working class background. So everything I did was just, you know, like just not really knowing exactly what I was doing, but just putting out applications and doing it and just kind of dedicating myself to it. But my first book was the short story collection Troublemakers, and that was published when I was 35. And I kind of had reached that point where I was thinking, is this going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And I still feel that way about it. 19 books later, I still feel that way.
Well, do you remember the moment when you got your first acceptance for a short story?
Yeah, I was in the MFA program at Iowa, and I think it was a teacher of mine, it may have been Madison Smart Bell, was telling us about a new magazine. He had a story in the first issue, and he passed around some copies of it, and I sent the story there, and it got accepted in the second issue, and then the magazine went defunct, so it only had two issues of the magazine. It's a magazine called the Poughkeepsie Review out of I think it was out of Vassar. But before that, I had won third place in Playboy's College Fiction Contest and then second place in Playboy's College Fiction Contest. So I'd had some encouragement through the contest, but it had taken a little bit longer to actually get a magazine publication.
Sure.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. You mentioned that you got into the Iowa Writers Workshop, and that was, if I understand, you said it was kind of a fluke. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I applied to four programs. So when I was an undergrad, I knew that Iowa was that a lot of writers had gone to Iowa, mm-hmm. because I'd begun reading a lot of books, and I would look in the bio and see that they'd either taught at Iowa or they had gone to Iowa. So that was the reason I picked it. I didn't really know much about it beyond that. But I applied to four programs. I think two I got rejected from. Actually, one I think lost my application. This is in the 1980s.
Yeah.
So it's like one just got lost in the mail. One I got rejected from. Iowa let me in without funding. And at that time, I didn't realize like you could kind of try to negotiate for funding if you didn't get funding. I just felt kind of grateful I was let in. And the other place let me in without funding because they told me that the writer, who is Frederick Barthelme, said, you really like my writing. He's like, and it was the dean I was speaking to. And the dean said, but we can't let you teach anybody because these are the lowest GRE scores we've ever seen. And what I didn't tell him was that everybody had told me GRE scores didn't count for MFA programs. And so I just went out drinking the night before. And showed up at the test and took the test. It was basically just filling in one bubble, like, you know, B or C or whatever.
As I mentioned earlier, you've had several memoirs published. Had you always written memoir along with fiction as well?
No, I think that just came up kind of accidentally. A lot of my fiction grew, I think once I was able to kind of channel my personal life into my fiction, I think that's when I really began kind of advancing what I was doing with my fiction and getting published. So the Book of Ralph is very much like I could turn to almost any page in the Book of Ralph and say, this is where this came from, but it's also very fictional. It's not autobiographical, mm-hmm. But later I began writing. Mostly it was like, I think it was magazines that would solicit work from me and ask me to write, you know, could you write an 800 word piece on this or that? And they would be autobiographical pieces. And at a certain point, I realized that that it was kind of, the pieces were working together in kind of an interesting way. And so I began filling in the gaps and mostly about my childhood. I'm still not necessarily comfortable writing about, like writing just straight autobiography. Mm-hmm. But if I have a sort of like a game plan, like an overall game plan in which it's almost like an impressionistic painting or something where I can say, okay, I have these essays about these specific moments of my life. What else is going to kind of flesh out that picture? I think it took me a long time to figure out how to kind of structure the individual essays just because since they're not short stories, it's not natural for me to kind of figure that out without having some sort of, without really thinking about it in a way. Whereas a short story is very organic to me. I sit down, I write it, the shape kind of creates itself. Mm-hmm. And nonfiction, I have to kind of think about that ahead of time more.
You did point out that The Pin Butterfly, your new novel, is a crime novel, which is different from novels that you've written previously. How was it different in terms of the actual writing process for you?
I think partly one of my weaknesses had been throughout my career is plot. It's like trying to come up with a, you know, like I think I'm good at dialogue. I'm good at, I kind of know which things I'm good at, you know, whether it's or humor. But having that kind of big plot has been difficult. And so I tried to write a crime novel about 20, 25 years ago, and I just didn't do, I just couldn't do it. I struggled with how to plot the book. In the past 10 years, I've done a lot of screenwriting, and most of those screenplays have been crime, and some version of crime. And I think working within that structure of the screenplay, which I tell my students, it's like writing a sonnet because it's a form, and you could do all these different things inside of it, but it is still a form. It's a three-act structure, and there are certain places where the plot points happen. I think that just gave me the discipline to be able to and the confidence, I think, to be able to see if I was going to write a 500-page crime novel, how that could work, how I could actually fill that in. So it's a balance of like having a plan and not having a plan, you know, like allowing myself the surprise as I'm writing, but also know that I'm heading towards something kind of bigger.
You have written several books about writing and the writing process. What writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
That's always a tough one, I think, because there's so many pieces of advice. I think one of the things, and I think Flannery O'Connor talks about this, where it's like honoring the mystery of it. And so for me, it's if I'm writing, whatever I'm writing, it's like I always have to tap into my unconscious mind, which sometimes means writing when I first wake up, because that's when if I'm not fully awake, I'm still in that kind of weird state of being able to more easily access my unconscious mind. But I feel like when you do that, you're able to channel the character better. It's almost like method acting. And when you do that, and I think when you're able to kind of really do that successfully, that's what's going to have the most impact on the reader. The reader is going to feel those emotions more strongly if you're in that state of really kind of tapping into that unconscious mind of that character. And so in that sense, I feel like, going back to the Flannery O'Connor quote, it's like honoring that mystery, not necessarily feeling like you know everything about the story or everything about the character, because I think once you actually begin channeling a character, that character is going to reveal all sorts of interesting things to you. And so the other thing I would say is just trying to write every day. I think it's hard to kind of tap into the unconscious mind of a character or to tap into your unconscious mind if you're just doing it kind of piecemeal. So even if it's like 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 2 hours a day, whatever you can, doing it consistently, I think actually helps quite a bit to be able to access that.
What novels or nonfiction books have you enjoyed recently?
Weirdly, I've kind of gone back to older books. When I read that Graham Greene novel when I was in Thailand, that's when I just suddenly fell in love with his prose, and I just began reading lots and lots of Graham Greene novels. So The End of the Affair is a book that I read recently that I just love.
Where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels and your new novel, The Pin Butterfly?
So I have a Twitter, or I guess it's not Twitter anymore. X account, and I believe it's just writer John McNally. It's at J McNally Books, and that's probably the best place in terms of just like me talking about writing. I do have a Facebook authors page too, so you can, if you search my name, one is my personal page and one is the authors page.
Again, we've been speaking with John McNally. McNally has a new novel out, The Pin Butterfly, which he has published under a pen name, Johnny Mack. So the novel is out now, so go buy a copy. And John, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Jeff.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.